back to the New York Sports Exchange, episode number 149?
I don't know.
I lost count.
I think 48?
I lost count.
I think 48.
148, 149, who knows, who cares. And we are fresh off of a hot, hot deadline. Stove was hot.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see some more moves.
I did. There were a few moves that I wanted.
No one out of the A's, which I was shocked.
Goal for the United States in water polo. Absolutely great job from the States there. phenomenal job.
United.
This is a water polo podcast now. Would have loved to see...
Tarek Skubal?
So Tarek, he wasn't getting traded. Yanni Diaz getting traded. Pete Fairbanks.
I thought Brent Rooker was going to go.
You thought Brent Rooker was going to go?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Thought it was.
All right. Some of the moves, notable moves. 2 hours after we recorded the last episode, Randy Arozarena became a Seattle Mariner.
We know ball.
We'll talk. Yes, we do know ball. Jack Flaherty is a Los Angeles Dodger.
Thought he was going to be a Yankee, but...
Thought he was going to be a Yankee
rich
as well.
Get richer.
Big talks of that, and it never happened. We got plenty more moves to go with, trying to find the big ones from the Yankees and the Mets. The Padres make a big splash.
Jesse Winker to the Mets.
Yes, Jesse Winker to the Mets. Yankees get Jazz Chisholm.
And Mark yes.
Weider.
Yes, continues to be a Mets killer,
yeah,
especially
we are
after
with
last
Peter
night.
Again, by the way. Yes.
What up?
Yeah. Hopefully we can hear him through that, but... we have a training camp. Malik Nabers. Welcome to the league, son. Going out swinging. I love it. Malik Nabers going out swinging. We're going to talk everything from training camp, preseason football.
Joe Tool's going to the game tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. The Giants play tomorrow. That's right. They
he's
go
going.
Up against the Lions. That's
yes,
right.
He's going tomorrow.
Forgot about that. We have the Olympics. The United States through to the semifinals, taking on Serbia. And ironically enough, Joel Embiid just mysteriously has ankle soreness. Serious. So random.
It's been embarrassing for him, to be honest with you.
Very, very random. Very insanely random. And then we have our SEC football preview. We previewed the Big Ten the last episode. We will now preview the SEC, all 16 teams, what you need to know for that. All right, let's get it started. Trade deadline. We'll do the Met moves first, then the Yankee moves. The Mets go ahead and get Jesse Winker in exchange for pitching prospect Tyler Stewart. Key stats, 11 home runs, 45 RBIs for Jesse Winker. We will talk about how he's been so far. It hasn't really been...
It's been ups and downs. I mean, yesterday was... yesterday hit a big double play.
That was
yeah.
a tough loss.
I know. But you know what? Honestly, I like the move. He's... What was it
adds you a better lefty outfielder.
Yes, and you don't give up. You didn't give up a top 20 prospect.
Yes,
so.
And it's a significant upgrade from DJ Stewart.
Oh my gosh,
a much more significant upgrade. Is he under contract?
DJ Stewart?
Winker? Is he a free agent?
I think he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Free agent at the end of the year. Okay. Is there any other moves that the Mets made? I feel like they. Oh, Paul Blackburn.
Paul Blackburn. Yeah.
The Mets traded. I completely forgot about Paul Blackburn.
He looked fantastic in his first start.
He looked very well. The Mets get. Paul Blackburn.
You know what? I heard
Cade Morris.
Yeah, and I heard a big thing is that he just loves Francisco Alvarez. Said it's just a complete game changer for him behind the plate. So
he goes tonight, I believe, right?
Actually, yes, I think he does tonight.
He goes tonight against the Rockies, another West Coast team. So maybe that might work out for him. You're getting two starts with Paul Blackburn on the West Coast.
You got to win both of them. Let's win another one.
That is big. Now we are to the Yankees. We'll start off with the light. The lighter trade, ironically enough, for Mark Leiter. For Mark Leiter.
I don't love him.
I love him.
Really?
I didn't like the trade at first because I saw like the high ERA, and then I went on Baseball Savant and whole lot of red. Just a lot of red. Loved it.
All right.
And then immediately goes in, first day he gets traded, comes in. In a high leverage spot, is able to get out of a big jam, keep the game tied. Yankees were able to win that game. And then he was able to do it again the next game where you had runner on second, a tying run at second base in the bottom of the eighth inning. You got Brandon Marsh up. You throw a nasty, nasty splitter.
Yeah, I just.
And then the game on Sunday, the same thing. I think this guy's just got big balls.
We'll see how it holds up because it hasn't held up in the past. So we'll see.
I love it. Another small sample size. They also did get a reliever from San Diego, Aniel De Los Santos. I think he's looked pretty good these past couple of games. He did come in on Friday, that disaster of a game with the whole Gleyber Torres thing. We will get to that. But I 1 2/3 scoreless innings. Can't ask for
can't
much
complain,
there.
Yeah.
Looked pretty good on Sunday as well. Came into the 9th, pitched some of the 10th inning. Looked pretty good. And then last but not least, Jazz Chisholm. Now a New York Yankee. Yankees trade, in my opinion, their second best prospect in Augustin Ramirez. A lot of fans were upset that that was just the deadline. Yes, the Yankees still have glaring issues. They're still,
so does every team.
Just so does every team, exactly. And there hasn't been, I don't think, except for the Dodgers, Australia just tied it up here, 6-6 in the quarterfinal, 2 minutes to go. This is only July. Or no, this is August, sorry. This is only August for water polo.
I don't know what comes from here. I've never followed this sport.
I don't know.
How does the overtime work?
I have no idea.
Imagine it's like one-on-one.
If it's shootout.
How I don't know how that would work. That would be hilarious, though.
Can you imagine that? Oh,
like,
God.
You're 5 feet out.
Anyway,
you
I don't
rifle
think,
this ball.
Outside from the Dodgers, because the Dodgers made a lot of good moves, but they do that every
yeah,
summer.
Mean, this is,
and
what's
they
new
always,
for the Dodgers?
They always get knocked out in the division series. Outside of the Dodgers, I don't think a team really made like that big of a splash.
No. It was always going to be the Dodgers. I mean, we
yeah.
always say that.
I mean, we could say the same thing about San Diego, but they gave up so many top prospects.
They're a mess. I don't even like.
I don't know.
Look
but
what
anyway,
happens with them.
We go ahead and get Jazz Chisholm for, hang on, Augustin Ramirez, Jared Serna, and Abraham Ramirez.
He's been productive, so you can't
he's
complain.
He's been productive. He did have a golden sombrero in the first game of the doubleheader that's going on right now.
That's what he is, though.
I know it's what he is. I just
home run strikeout.
I was loving. Do you know what's impressive? I saw this the other day. Do you know that he is like one of the highest ground ball hitters in the league? He has not grounded into a double play once.
Oh. I mean, that'll change eventually. Your whole team does.
Yeah,
so.
Our whole team does. But at the same time, I understand the move. It was a great move. Jazz Chisholm is one of the best hitters in scoring position, and the Yankees struggled with hitting with runners in scoring position. And
there you go.
It's going to show.
Yeah,
he's already been pretty successful.
He's
already hit a clutch home run in Philly. He's had a somewhat decent series against Toronto. I know I just mentioned the golden sombrero against.
Well, if he does it in the doubleheader, there you go. Platinum.
The Angels. If he does it in the doubleheader, yeah, that's going to be a telling sign. But yeah, I really liked what the Yankees did at the deadline. Other Yankee fans may acted like their whole family got killed when we didn't get a leadoff hitter or another reliever.
Well, who did you think you were going to get?
The thing is, I just don't understand. Because there's people that are like, oh, we didn't trade like any of our top prospects
but
and all
why
this.
Why
like,
would you?
Like, we didn't trade that many like great players for one. Like,
Give up that many players.
But there are
for
people
Juan
that
Soto.
Are like, "Oh, Brian Cashman has never made like a big trade and given up top prospects." We literally did it this past December for Juan Soto.
No,
so it's like,
no offense to Yankee fans, but you guys are just so.
We're spoiled.
Ridiculously spoiled.
No, we're spoiled. I'll be the first to say that we are ridiculously spoiled. And even when, like
66 wins, let's just enjoy that.
Yeah, we got the best record in baseball right now.
Just
the
enjoy
best
that.
The best record in baseball. And we've been on fire since the deadline. So maybe Jazz Chisholm was the culture change that we needed. Because right now, it's really just lit a fire under everybody. I mean, outside of that disaster Friday night, Gleyber Torres somewhat played well. DJ LeMahieu had all 6 of our runs in the 3rd game against Philadelphia. Anthony Volpe has, I mean, I know his job isn't really like on the line, but still, he's been on fire since the All-Star break. Oh,
wow,
Australia!
This game's crazy.
Oh no, the United States goes down 7-6.
Oh, it's 1:53 left.
All right, we still got time. Can we get an extra attacker? Can you imagine that? Like they empty the
I
net
just
and
I
that guy like jumps in the pool.
I don't know anything. Yeah,
starts,
like dives
swimming.
In off a diving board. Like I don't know anything about this.
Can you imagine that? That'd be insane.
What a throw, dude! These spin shots are nuts.
Like the bounce off the water, it's actually clean as fuck right there. Okay, so let's dive into some other moves that happened around the deadline, starting off with, I had one that and I lost it. Oh, here we go. Randy Arozarena to the Seattle Mariners. At the time of the trade, Arozarena was hitting 211, 318, 394, 15 home runs, 37 RBIs, 16 stolen bases, and a 105 OPS plus, just above league average. The Rays will also receive minor league outfielder Aaron Smith and minor league right-hander Brody Hopkins, and they received a player to be named later. The Mariners badly needed an offensive boost.
Yep, they needed one badly. I mean, it didn't even matter what you gave up at this point. If you wanted to do anything, you needed to get an offensive
production. Exactly. He hits 21% better than the league average in his first five major league seasons, and he had a horrible start to the year, 920 OPS since the start of June. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's bouncing back.
He's been phenomenal. And again, it's the thing with Seattle is you just kind of have to tread water, ironically enough, as this guy just gets...
Yeah, Stan, I'm sorry to interrupt. This game is nuts.
Yeah, we got a minute left.
USA here. Just hit the post.
Yeah, we got a minute left. Here come the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
Up,
oh, timeout. Timeout?
Timeout, timeout. No, that's a good timeout right there.
Oh, we had clear water.
It's a good timeout there. But Randy Arozarena, he also hits well in T-Mobile Park, which is big for them, for the Mariners and Arozarena. I'm shocked that it wasn't more, considering the fact of when Arozarena's hot, he is one of the best hitters in baseball.
I think they just bought it a good time.
Yeah, exactly. They just bought him at a good time. Next up, the Rays trade starting pitcher Zach Eflin to the Baltimore Orioles. I almost said Royals. The Rays received Matthew Etzel, Mac Horvath, and right-hander Jackson Bomeister. This seems like a common theme with the Rays trades during this deadline. You will notice that the Rays got a lot of prospects. And so did the Marlins.
Yeah, but the Rays always do this.
They always do this, and I'll just tell you this. The fact that they were able to keep Diaz and Fairbanks and Brandon Lowe.
Are they going to be like the Orioles in like 3 years?
They might be. Like to an extent.
It's ridiculous, these teams.
I know. This is intense.
Oh, my gosh. What's the foul?
We got a foul. Oh, it's a play on. Oh, they're attacking it. Oh, we're a man up right now. We're a man up.
40 seconds.
40 seconds.
Shoot it.
Shoot it. You got... Oh, my God. Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
We're going crazy
right now. The United States ties it in water polo.
32 seconds left.
32 seconds to go.
Oh, my God.
We are interrupting this trade deadline coverage for one of the greatest, most underrated sports on the planet. I am sorry. This might be the greatest sport on earth.
It's a crazy game.
This is insane.
What a goal.
What a goal. No shot for the goal. No shot for the goalie to get it. We did it with a man up as well. Alex Bowen.
Wow.
11th goal of the tournament. Timeout Australia.
Damn. Dude, I don't even know. Like, do they get the ball and just score? Like, I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I don't know. Imagine if this isn't live. Wait, water polo. Overtime rules. Here we go. If this goes to overtime, international. Wait, so what does a shootout look like? I don't think there's any overtime.
It's a draw. It can't be. It's a quarterfinal game.
No, they go into a shootout.
How does that work?
How does a shootout work? Okay, wait. International water polo, including Olympic water polo, does not have overtime or ties. Instead, if the game is tied at the end of regulation play, the winner is determined by a penalty shootout. In the shootout, five players and a goalkeeper from each team take turns shooting from the 5-meter line at opposite ends of the pool until one team scores and the other misses.
Damn.
Here we go. Oh, U.S. playing with high pressure.
Chip on their shoulder. Look at this battle in front.
They're at the top of the key. This is not good.
He's drowning that dude in front of the net.
We got a play on here. We have a play on. They give it over to that guy in the left wing. They try to go for a bounce.
Win it!
The goalie dives on it! Oh, United States ball!
12 seconds! 12 seconds! Close them out!
Do they run the clock? Oh, no! The coach is telling him to push it up! Throw it! Here we go! You gotta throw it in! You got 8 seconds! What are you doing? Oh, my God! Oh, my God! This is a disaster! Wait! From whiteout!
Untimer? What are we thinking?
Overtime! In water polo!
What is going on right now?
The scenes in Paris!
What is going on right now?
Unbelievable. United States coach wanted to push the ball. They had their chance.
Call timeout.
I don't think they had any.
I don't know how many you get. I don't know anything about this.
Unbelievable. We go to commercial and it's overtime.
Dude, you just missed it. They stole it with like
12
seconds
left.
This is
only water. They stole it. The goalie fucking got out of the net and dove on the ball.
Well, they were like drowning each other in front of the net. He jumped up. All right.
He jumped up anyway. All right. So, Randy Arozarena, Seattle Mariner.
we're talking about pitching now for the Orioles, too.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, it brings up good. I mean, their rotation. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez is.
Water polo is just taking over right now.
Yeah, this is now a water polo podcast. During this commercial, one of the more shocking deadline moves, Isak Paredes gets traded to the Cubs for Christopher Morel and pitching prospects Ty Johnson and Hunter Biggie. This is a very interesting move because this doesn't show that the Cubs are sellers.
But they stink.
It doesn't show that the Cubs are buyers. But here's the thing. They do have a couple years of control of Isak Paredes, which definitely means that they're looking for an eye for the future and not having to, you know, wait for a guy to get called up.
Yeah.
And all that.
I mean,
because Isak Paredes added to that lineup is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but again, it doesn't move me. That team needs a lot
more. I know
more.
It doesn't move me, but there's a lot to.
Yeah, all right.
This is what some teams are doing.
No, I know. Teams, they need to tool up.
Yeah, exactly. Three-team trade. The Cardinals acquire Eric Fetty from the White Sox and Tommy Pham. The Dodgers get Tommy Edman, who's currently
Tommy
on the IL, and Michael Kopech.
Block.
And the White Sox get utility man Miguel Vargas. The Cardinals get Fetty, who signed with the White Sox out of the KBO during the offseason. Pham, who was a very vital member of that Arizona Diamondbacks World Series team. The Cardinals did not have to trade away a top prospect. They did not really have to trade. They did not have to trade a single top prospect or anyone that has touched the field for the St. Louis Cardinals this season. That's a good trade for them. Dodgers. I'm trying to find the Dodgers thing.
Does it matter who they trade, though? Like,
it does.
Yeah, but even then, they just replace him with another guy next year. That's what they do.
It's kind of just...
They're just a retool team. They're just like, oh, we'll just replace
Tommy
him.
Tommy Edman aspect of the deal presents some risk considering that he's hurt, and I know shortstop is a big issue now that Mookie Betts and Miguel Vargas are no longer in the picture. But I really like this for the Cardinals. I know Eric Fetty hasn't really shown out, but the Cardinals are looking to make that wild card spot.
I hope not.
Yeah, you hope not.
I really hope not.
This one was one of the more absurd trades. The Astros.
Oh, my gosh.
Yusei Kikuchi.
What was this?
For Jake Bloss.
He had a terrible first start, too.
Joey Loperfido and Will Wagner, the son of Billy. Yeah. Are they insane?
They gave up a bunch of top prospects for a guy who, in his first start, got shelled in, like,
inning. No, he didn't get shelled. He gave up two runs in the first inning and pitched, like, six.
That's what I saw. Whatever. He's not. What is his ERA? 4.89?
Let's see. I mean, it's a move that you have to make.
They gave up too much.
Yeah, they gave up way too much. Oh, here we go. Shootout.
Yeah,
here
I was just
go.
About to say, this is really it. They just stand there and whip balls.
They just
balls.
Stand there and whip it at him. This is for a chance to at least medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you lose a semifinal game, you go to the bronze medal game. But you don't. You're not guaranteed. You win this, you got a chance to win a medal.
It's just an auto medal, right? Or this
not an auto
medal. Oh, this quarterfinal, yeah.
Yeah, it's a quarterfinal. So whoever to. Oh, wait. Here we go.
Oh, jeez.
Scores.
They just whip it in it.
1-0 Australia.
No way.
In the shootout.
I don't like this. Look at this. Dude, the goalie just like got up. He just whipped it in.
Here come the United States.
I don't think we're going to score.
We're good.
This Aussie goalie's been pretty good.
We're good. We're chilling.
Oh, it's
yeah!
Bad. Yeah, it was a Niz.
I think they know what they're doing.
I think they're...
I mean, they're in the Olympics. This isn't just
Tim's
like...
Tim's acting like the Jamaican bobsled team is like...
This isn't the JCC water polo. Like.
This is not. This is the Olympics.
That's a Niz. Dang. How hard do you think they're throwing these?
Definitely hard.
Thanks.
Yep. Here we go. This is a lefty now.
That's what they were saying. They were running the two lefties. That's what they when they went in the Australian huddle.
Oh.
That's what they were doing. They scored immediately.
He missed!
Oh, it was back post. Damn.
Oh, no, they say he got it.
Damn. He got back post. Damn.
God damn.
This is exciting. Look at this. Oh.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You got to put one in.
You got to get this one. Yes.
Oh, he just went right over him.
Here we go. Just right. Oh, went off his head. Ooh. Good aim.
He was doming him.
Off his head and in.
Come on, make one. Big
you
save.
You got to make
here.
A big save here. Oh, he's rushing him. Yeah! Oh, and he saved it! Holy shit!
Yeah! Oh my gosh.
So now if he makes it, it's over?
Well, no, they got
to. Oh, no, I think they get five
they
shots.
They get five, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they get five shots each. Holy crap.
Oh, what a save.
That was awesome.
How does he get up like that? It looks like they're jumping off something.
I don't know. Here we go. For the U.S. to take the lead.
They got to score.
Onions!
Yes! Yes! I'm going to start following this.
Yeah, you know, this sport's the they have. Siena has water polo, and I've, like, never.
It ain't like this.
Yeah, that's fair.
I got to get my jersey on.
Yeah.
They don't have jerseys, the merch they have, or the head caps they wear. So they just have, like, a 9 head cap. USA head cap.
Oh! Yeah! We're off the bar!
We score, we win?
I would assume so.
That is it.
Yeah.
They look defeated.
This is it. The Aussies look defeated.
Start the
buses.
They
already quit.
Start the buses. This guy's nice.
Oh, it went off his head. It didn't go off the post. It went off his head. Here we go. This is for a chance to go to the semifinals. Oh, what a save.
No.
Here we go. Oh, shit. Aussie goalie getting hype.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
What a save. Yeah, he just guessed it. No,
he guessed.
They've been playing
I feel
that,
like this is just like a
but
big...
But they've been playing that side the whole... Why don't you go
this
back?
This is just a big guessing game.
There's got to be some scouting report.
Yeah.
Is that a fresh ball? They get a fresh ball every time?
Everyone gets a fresh ball. Here we go. If he makes a save, the United States moves on to the semifinal. Oh!
Damn.
Australia scores.
They don't score here, and this just goes into like a play out. I'm going to go...
I would assume so. Yankees losing 2-0.
What a live sports action we got going on right now.
You gotta love sports. This is it. Not this is it, but here we go. Goal here wins it for the United States.
Yes! Oh! Yes! Yes!
That's it!
We're moving on.
The United States to the semifinals!
Let's go. All right.
USA! 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 Oh, yeah, guys getting hype.
Remember, Americans, we can't spell USA without you. Let's go, America.
Gonna rise up, gonna kick a little less, gonna kick some ass in the USA.
Is there like a handshake line in the water? tread water and just...
Please. that would make the sport 10 times better.
All right, what were we talking about?
They're out of the pool.
Talk about trade deadline? Yeah, what are the Astros
doing? Yeah, we're talking trade deadline. Yeah, that was just a stupid trade from the Astros. I mean, I know Kikuchi did a good job in his first start, but...
What? I still don't like it.
I don't think that's really going to last.
Wow, what a game.
Wow. The United States. Oh, no, they're in the... Oh, no, they're... These are the guys that are still in the pool. Okay. I'm trying to... Let me just check my Blake Snell prop that's happening. He's got 5 strikeouts. I just need... 2 more from him. Or no. I don't remember. Anyway. Let's see. Next trade. We got... This one is another interesting one. The Braves get Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson from the Giants. I mean... Oh, yeah. And Luke Jackson from the Giants. This made no sense because you already have a true DH in Marcell Ozuna. I think
bolstering up the DH position is crazy.
I think that this is just a way for fans to be like, oh, yeah, this guy hit a nuke in the World Series against the Astros.
But say you plug him in that DH spot and he's sick like he used to be with them.
Yeah.
And then you put Ozuna in the outfield.
But I wouldn't necessarily say that, like, that is a good move.
I guess fair, but I don't know.
Holy shit, 6-0 Angels.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Will Warren, that's tough.
America already won, we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. We're okay. Just hope the Orioles lose today. Next up, the Padres get Tanner Scott. This is a big one. And Brian Honing from the Marlins. The Marlins are receiving four prospects: Robbie Snelling, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, and Jay Beshears.
They make moves like they're already a contender, and they're just not. And they're just not. They do it every year.
They do it every year. We saw it with the Soto trade. That one that actually helped them. That got them to the NLCS that year. They do it every offseason, too. They sign Xander Bogaerts, even though
it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. I mean, it's
they're in a weird spot right now. They're
bolsters their bullpen, yes.
Nah, they're just in a weird spot in their franchise now. I mean,
they're trying to compete with
their owner fucked them. Like, he really did. Now they're fucked.
This is my thing with baseball, because we always see owners on a different side of the spectrum be like not spending money and all that, and then here's an owner that's
spent way too much money, and it's hard to come back from that.
I know. Well, I mean, we'll figure it out. And last but not least, the Dodgers get Jack Flaherty for not much. Theron Liranzo and Trey Sweeney. This bolsters the Dodgers rotation. It gets them some help with Yamamoto still hurt. I know Clayton Kershaw just came back. But, yeah, I think that's a good move for them. I think he 6 scoreless his first go-around?
Something like that.
Yeah, something along the lines of that. And, all right, that's trade deadline. Do we want to talk some Mets and Yankees? And then we'll go...
It's been pretty...
Yeah.
It's like 500 baseball right now for the Mets or the trade deadline. They just need to start hitting the ball again and figuring it out. Yankees, different story.
Yeah, Yankees have been great. I just think that... I'm just checking my parlay. I don't think it's looking that good right now. Yeah, Yankees look good. The Gleyber Torres thing on Friday, that can't happen. Good for Aaron Boone for... I know, 6-0 Angels. We just mentioned that. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Yankees. And then I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to say? Yeah, they're playing good again.
I'm liking what I'm seeing. Moving on. Training camp. Training camp, Malik Nabers.
He's been waiting to talk about this.
I have been waiting. Tim, you're repping Malik Nabers' school, right?
All right.
So are we all Malik Nabers guys? Are we a Malik Nabers podcast?
If you want to be.
If we want to be. Holy shit.
Is that Goat James?
That is Goat James on the screen. That is the Goat James. Tim, that's your sunshine.
I love LeBron.
Yeah.
Can we talk about him winning possibly? He's the favorite right now.
The favorite to win what?
Olympic basketball MVP.
Is he the favorite?
He is the favorite.
Oh, wow.
And guess who's second?
Kevin Durant.
Jokic? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bron's going to win it. Is that Bron? Is that Go James?
Is that Go James?
All right, be honest. Any athlete right now in the world you can meet, who would it be? I mean, I'm picking LeBron. You're probably picking LeBron. Be honest.
Michael Phelps.
Nah, you're lying.
I'm serious. I would love to be Michael Phelps. Pete, who would you want to be?
Out of all Olympic athletes.
Just like any athlete in the world.
Did you say Antonio Brown? Be a weird afternoon.
Oh, wow. Aaron Rodgers.
Is she like, what? She just won MVP for that? Like, player of the game?
No, it's just like.
Why are they interviewing her? One of the girls dropped like 40.
Bro, it's not. That's not like. You don't know how like post game interview works with the media. It's not like the director's like. They're basically just like, okay, who's available? And then like the PR guy's like, oh, she is.
Pick the girl who won't drop 40. She's available. What's she doing?
And plus, this is for like a pre recorded.
I know. Whatever.
Yeah. But a big win for the United States national team over Nigeria.
Yeah, a lot of U.S. sports going on right now with the Olympics. America's the first. United
States, yes. 2 gold medals ahead. That's good.
Total medals? Leading in total medals?
Leading in total medals, yeah.
Leading in every medal.
Is it different if, like... You have to be the winner with the most gold medals. Oh, it has to be with the most gold medals? Okay. Okay. So the
Well, they're winning every single one right now. Doesn't matter. No.
Okay.
They're winning every single one right now, so...
Okay. Training camp, it's been like an up and down thing with Daniel Jones. Where did we see? Are we about to lose to Qatar?
This is an Olympic. This is an Olympic podcast right now. I don't know.
We are an Olympic podcast, right? Oh my God.
What a terrible play.
That is off. Oh, wait, did he touch it? Oh, he touched it.
Oh, no. That was the play earlier. This is the match point. Oh my gosh. We lost.
Wow. How does that happen? How does that happen?
Qatar's good at beach volleyball. I mean, look at this. We've been terrible. We've been bad.
Wow. Misty May and Kerry Walsh Jennings, you were missed.
Women versus Brazil indoors. That's all we got left.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane. Anyway, now they're going to commercial. Wait.
Coming up, indoor men's volleyball.
Speaking of beach volleyball with the U.S., did you see who's competing in?
Yeah, that old NBA.
Chase Buttinger.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard, saw him and LeBron catching up.
MVPs with Kevin Durant in the McDonald's All-American game.
Yeah, I saw him and LeBron catching up at some point before one of the I forget what game it was.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I know. Dude, he could jump, why not?
He can jump. Like, yeah, this is freaking this is great for the country.
Yeah, we're big on Olympics right now.
This is what brings the country.
It has
together.
To. So does SEC football, Stan.
Yes, it does. And we will be talking SEC football right after we talk about training camp. So Malik Nabers starts a fight. I think we're back.
That's it? That just reels you right back in?
Here's the thing. And everyone's like so like shitty on the Giants this year, and like I get it.
The O-line's there.
I mean, the O-line looks pretty good.
Yeah, well.
Evan Neal's still on PUP. And Brian Daboll's basically saying he'll be ready when he's ready.
Could be deceiving. We'll see.
Who knows? I mean, I'm going in with low expectations, as always.
Yes.
But, right, if we did not have Daniel Jones at quarterback, let's say we had, like, a regular quarterback, like a good
But you, the fact that you just said that, though, is, like, if we had a regular quarterback. But what is a regular? Like, Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, if we had, like, Baker Mayfield at quarterback.
I mean, like, serviceable, but still, it's like...
With a decent receiving core, with Nabers, Hyatt, Wandale Robinson.
They still have a lot to prove. Okay. I know, on paper, it's like, all right.
Rebuilding offensive line, a top 10 front seven in football.
A terrible secondary.
I wouldn't say that they're terrible, but I'll say that they're young and there's a lot to look forward to with that secondary.
I think here's the thing of the Giants.
Yeah.
It's a great way to look at it. But I remember
having a shitty secondary.
Yeah. But the thing about the Giants is like they're young and they have a lot to prove. So I get everything like on paper looks good, but we have to see it. You know, come into play. I think tomorrow is going to be. Not, I mean,
the
obviously.
First test. I haven't heard anything about who's.
And you don't really know with these kind of games, but it'll give you a little bit of an idea just to see what it looks like. I don't know. They got something to prove this year. We'll see.
Yeah, I just had a thought about football, and now I lost it.
Oh, I just actually bought. I said this to Tim earlier. Me and my roommate just bought our tickets to home opener week 3.
Ooh, I actually might be going to a Jet game this year.
I will be at it.
Jets Broncos.
It's like.
Yeah, that's on.
This one's in Denver.
No, it's not in Denver.
I think it's actually the weekend.
I think so. Well, the Giants are on Thursday night that week, so I will be. Is it Thursday night too?
They playing Are they playing the Raiders in Vegas this year? That'd be a great game.
Giants are in Atlanta on my birthday. I don't want to go to Atlanta for my birthday. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Stan with YSL.
Can you imagine?
YSL Stan.
What's that wing? What's that strip club that Will was at?
Oh, the Good Wings.
Yeah, the Good Wings or whatever. I don't remember
the name. They got great wings, though, I heard.
Yeah, they do have great wings.
I think Tiki Barber said that one time, too.
Yeah.
I don't like him on the radio. I don't think he...
I like him on the radio. I just... He was just such...
I've been wrong. It's going to be a little white. tiny bit sometimes, and Tiki kind of levels him.
I just don't like what he did after he left the Giants.
Well, duh, yeah, I mean.
Well, like, it was just, like, the classic, like, eat your own words, because he, for those who don't know, he retired the year before the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl the first time, and he basically, he got an analyst job and basically said, like, Eli doesn't work hard, Eli is not a great quarterback, shit. Like, saying all this shit. And then Eli goes ahead, beats the greatest quarterback, greatest football player of all time in the Super Bowl, and then Tiki has to interview Eli Manning after winning the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not really that big on Tiki. Basically, Tiki Barber wanted to have the career that Michael Strahan is having right now.
Yeah, well, Michael Strahan does a great job.
Yeah. It's still, like, so funny because, like, he'll, like, Michael Strahan will, like, talk about, like, the pressing issues in the world in Good Morning America.
I know. And
then
like,
always in the back of my mind. And
dude, the tooth gap is just.
It's, I just, like, remember.
But it's crazy he's on Good Morning America. I always forget that.
Yeah, well, because he originally started out on.
Isn't he with Kelly now?
No.
Michael and Kelly.
No,
Regis
he was. He started out on Regis and Kelly. Yeah. And then
it was Michael and Kelly for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Michael. Yeah, it was Michael and Kelly. Oh, you want to play with my clipboard?
This has been all over. I'm enjoying this podcast. So this is like sports media right now.
What happened?
I'm enjoying this podcast. It's like sports media right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, this is literally like every sports media class in Siena. Anyway, Strahan took the job at with Kelly Ripa, but at the same time was doing Good Morning America. But he was like, you know, he was doing like fun little.
Yeah, but
like,
now he's like doing serious
story.
Shit.
Then he left Kelly and Michael, and then.
Who's it now?
It's it was Kelly and Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest, right?
Ryan
yeah.
Seacrest left, and now it's Kelly Ripa's husband, Mark Consuelos. Now it's Kelly and Mark.
Kelly's carrying the load.
Yeah,
Kelly can do it with anyone. Shout out to Kelly. She's like,
I've heard that Kelly isn't really like one of the isn't really
a nice person.
Yeah, I hear she's like a little.
You know what though? Bitch. You got to be mean to get stuff done, and her show's been going on.
She
for
started
a while.
Out as a soap opera actress.
You know, she seems like she can get it done with anyone on the team. So.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the show's still on the air. Yeah. But now it's like Strahan's like front desk opening.
Oh, I know.
Like, you know, the Iowa caucus. It's like, oh, my God.
And he's talking about the Jets defense.
It's like, dude, you had 20 sacks 1 year. Yeah. Like,
it's like, now you're gonna be talking about the Jets in like 4 hours.
Yeah, like really. Any other sports media discussions?
What's going to happen? I know Chuck's done, but the Inside NBA team.
Apparently, they're not done. Like, they're going to like change it to like an all sports show.
But
do you know what I think they should do?
What?
I think it should be.
Well,
like
is Ernie with them still there?
It's going to be Ernie, Chuck. There's discussions that it's going to be Ernie, Chuck, Shaq.
Ernie not doing only basketball. That's a little weird for me, though.
Yeah.
He's great at his job.
It's going to be strange.
You know, underrated. Kenny the Jet Smith's really good at what he does, too.
Yeah.
People like to hate on him a little bit. You know, he is really good in his role.
He was.
Yeah, it sucks to say was. Well, now I don't know.
It sucks to say was, yeah. I think they should turn it into like a late night comedy show, but like sports comedy.
Yeah, I could watch that.
Yeah, like a Sports Nation type thing and have like a live studio audience.
But you know what? That's what it was already. If they just do the NBA thing on like an ESPN channel.
Yeah, but Barkley.
Oh, well, hockey, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could do
like,
that.
Like, imagine like Barkley and Chuck. I mean, Barkley and Chuck. Barkley and Shaq talking about like the slap shot on an empty net debate. I saw someone say that on Twitter.
What, just saying it's not hard or something?
What, not hard or?
Oh, you saying like imagine they had that?
No,
or
like imagine if they like debated like, oh, should you do a slap shot on an empty net?
Oh, yeah, I know. Like, yeah, that'd be selling after an empty net goal.
They're big old Liverpool women.
big old women down in Toronto. I got them churros down in San Antonio.
Them big old Edmonton women.
I don't even know. I just love. They did a really good job.
Yeah. The Fox broadcast teams came out for football.
Who's Brady with?
Brady is with the A team.
So of course he is.
Yeah. Brady's
you think they were running Brady with the secondary squad?
Yankees are on Prime, Pete. So you're not. What? The Yankees are on Prime. Oh, they're on. Oh shit! I completely forgot on what time it is.
Yeah, we're just having fun talking about sports media.
Yeah, this is.
SEC.
I hate when people say that because it just sounds like fucking. this professor that I had. He's one of the biggest low-life pieces of shit I think I've ever met in my life. He got fired, so I can say...
Oh, you told me about this guy, yeah.
I can say whatever the fuck I want. This dude's a piece of shit. He's scum of the earth. He, like, would show up, wear, like, a gray sweatshirt with gray sweatpants, looking like he just came out of a fucking pickup game at 24-hour fitness.
What if he was, dude? What if this dude's, like, secretly training for the G League?
No, he's, like, 50... He's gotta be, like, 50 years old. Bald. He's, like, 50 years old, bald, with a... Bald with a goatee.
What was the other one? Was it the Harlem Globetrotters? What was the other one? I'm sorry to interrupt your story. There was another team that did it too. No. There's another team that's like the Harlem Globetrotters, but they're not from Harlem. It's like the Westchester something, I think. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea.
Whatever. Continue, Stan.
Anyway, something there was like a that, lot yeah. of things to like pick because this guy used to be a journalist and you know, thought he was hot shit because he covered high school sports in the middle of Illinois. I guess, whatever. Whatever floats.
Yeah,
the guy that everyone hates around here.
What guy?
A guy that everyone hated.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I'm forgetting on what his name is.
We shitting on Lohud now?
Yeah, we're shitting.
That guy, what was that guy's name?
I forget what
everyone hated him.
I forget what his name was. Yeah, but...
Mike something?
Mike Zacchio?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he became
a
DJ.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, he became a DJ. You didn't know that?
He was like a rip on high school. Like, fucking.
Yo, he would like. No, literally, like, I remember, like, going to football games my junior year of high school, and, like, the team would be like. Not the team, like, the River Rage would be like, yeah. Mike Zacchio. And, like, he'd be at the sidelines, and he would, like, look like a fucking idiot, like, doing the prayer hands and being like, thank you. Yeah. Like, look at. I'm like, what are you doing? Let's see what he's doing now. Is he still a DJ?
I guess a DJ.
Is he still a DJ? How did he go from
Lohud Sports Insider?
Oh, he's a social studies teacher now.
No way. Where?
He teaches social studies. I don't know where, but he is
canceled.
So he went from sports reporter to DJ to social studies teacher.
That's quite the lifestyle.
That is, yeah. Talk about fucking.
He's active.
Yeah, that's. What a career path. He went from high school sports reporter to DJ to social studies teacher.
He's a social studies teacher now?
He's a social studies teacher now, Mike Zacchio.
But where'd he DJ? Him at a Little Bones concert?
That's my neighbor, Little Bones. Shout out him.
Is he lives in like Florida now,
He lives in California. Yeah, he's living in California now. Anyway, back to this back.
He bought me a beer.
Oh, he bought you a beer at the rooftop? That's hilarious. Anyway, back to this professor. Oh, good. Blue Jays are winning. This guy he's like a curmudgeon. Like, he thinks that, like...
I haven't heard that term in so long.
Yeah, he's a...
curmudgeon.
To quote... John Sullivan, Big John Sullivan, said this about a guy one time, and I just like quote it every time now. He just goes, oh, "He's a boob."
John Sullivan.
He's a boob, and this guy was just a big giant boob. Like, he just had like anger issues and would like yell at people and just like undermine. Like, I remember there was one time, not one time. It happened all the time. So basically, this guy like hated filler words. He thought that obviously was just like not a word. He thought that at the end of the day is just like a common phrase that people use, like all that. Whenever someone would say that in class, he literally would just go. He would do. You do two claps, and he wanted everybody in the class to do it.
What is this, fucking kindergarten?
Yeah, no, literally. Like, that's what he was doing. And then he was like...
Didn't he touch girls?
He didn't... He didn't, like, inappropriately...
Yeah, you thought that was a crazy switch-up, Pete, but I'm not kidding.
He didn't touch him inappropriately. He yelled at some girl because they were doing, like, a final project in the TV studio. And he fucking, like... as he was like walking out, he like shouldered the girl, and everyone saw it, and it was like, yeah, no, it was bad.
He takes a pickup way too seriously.
I
think he's a DJ now.
And it was,
he might be working for Loha next.
Yeah. I'm not going to say this guy's name. He's not worth my time. He absolutely hated me and dunked on me for like every fucking thing that I did.
Just like literally dunked on you. Like yeah. You went to class one day. Yeah, mini hoop set up.
Yeah, with the mini hoop. Exactly. But all my classes are archived on Canvas now, so I can't really see them. Which is a shame, but who cares? SEC football.
We're all over. God knows if we'll actually get through this one.
you know what? Yeah, what'll get me through this is SEC football. New SEC.
How's your JMU franchise going?
I told you I left JMU.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
So
we'll fill everyone
for those
in.
Who don't know. Rutgers is okay. So
yeah, you're just letting everyone know. Rutgers is ranked 24 now.
Anyway, so for those who don't know, I took a job at James Madison University.
I took a job. I love it. I love it. I just love it so much. I took a job at JMU.
I took the job as.
You know those memes are so true though, where it's like having to leave my actual job, leave my job, like coach
me
of like
having to leave yeah, to my go to fake my, job to go to my head coach at UTEP to go to my actual job.
Yeah, I like
yeah,
that.
But anyway. I became the head football coach at the James Madison University.
How is work? Like, working on that 3-4 defensive scheme, the 4-3 under coverage
In the Sun Belt. First year, won the conference championship on the road. On the road, because in the Sun Belt, there's no like neutral site. Whoever is like the higher seed in the division, whoever has like the better record of the two teams out of the top two teams in the division, they get the home game. Western Kentucky was going to be the group of five team that was going to be in the playoff, and we beat them in overtime on a game-sealing interception. This happened at like 3 in the morning on release day. I like...
Yo, that's crazy. On release day?
Yeah. I screamed my... Like, I got the interception. I fucking screamed my head off. It was insane. I'll show you. I have the video.
I was going to say, I knew you clipped it.
Of course I clipped it. I was like whispering too. It's like it's.
Oh
probably,
my god! Oh yeah. My god!
No, literally, I was like,
dude, my guy got called up in the show from AAA. He, I'm playing an all star too, dude. I'm batting like 440. I'm cooking.
Here's a video. Jay.
Ben Gamble's playing, right?
You. Dukes.
Ben Gamble's playing right today?
I guess he is. Jesse Winker, DH, hitting third. Anyway, 2 years go by. I get offered the offensive coordinator at the University of Michigan. I take that job. Spend 3 years there. Final 2 years, won back-to-back national championships. Next job. I became the head coach at TCU. I think I went to 4, maybe 3 college football playoffs. Won 2 Big 12 titles.
Couldn't get the job done.
Could not get the job done. And then after year 8 at TCU, I just like sim. I don't even like play like the full game. I just like play the moments of the games, and they just go by quicker. I took a job as the head football coach at the University of Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I am currently in my second year there. We are 5-0.
What year is this, like 2038?
Yeah, no, like literally on the dot. On the dot.
Damn. I was trying to keep track. Okay, yeah.
On the dot, 2038. Yeah, so we're 6-0 in year 2. Got a pretty good recruiting class. I mean, it's pretty easy to pitch kids to go there because it's like, hey.
It's Bama.
It's Bama.
Come to Bama. Yeah,
it's Bama. Okay. Enough. I mean, now to real football. now to real football. SEC new look. SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma. There is still a lot of same. It's definitely a new look SEC with Texas.
Oklahoma. It's the same SEC.
It's not the same SEC. Nick Saban's gone.
It's the same SEC.
Anyway, so to get it out of the way, Vanderbilt, worst team in the conference without a doubt. I know that patience is needed at Vanderbilt, but
how many years?
Yeah, I think like the pressure is coming on. Look at Gary, Keith, and Ron. Are they doing the game from outside?
I mean, they're just the best.
Oh, this is clearly pre-recorded.
Who cares?
Yeah, really, who cares?
This is the best booth.
Under Clark Lea's watch, they have posted 2-0-8 seasons in SEC play and are just 9-27 overall since 2021.
You're not a football school. Stick to baseball and figure it out because they've been bad recently.
Additionally, Vanderbilt was very uncompetitive, and last year they entered this season on a 10-game losing streak.
Make it 11 to start the year.
Yeah, make it 11 to start the year. They do get a revamped offensive staff. Former New Mexico head coach Jerry Kill becomes an off-field assistant. New play caller Tim Beck, also from New Mexico State, should help an offense that averaged only 16 points a game in SEC play.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they were not good. The New Mexico State connections don't end with those two guys. Lea landed former New Mexico State quarterback Diego. Yeah, it's fucking Vanderbilt.
It's Vanderbilt. Diego
Pavia, fun fact, he once got caught pissing at midfield of New Mexico State's rival, New Mexico. He got caught pissing on their logo before one of their games.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, that's all I really have on Vanderbilt. Number 15, Mississippi State. New coach Jeff Lebby inherits a roster.
Nice
two
jerseys.
Two starters.
Nice jerseys, that's all I got.
Very
say.
Nice jerseys. Two starters back. And the least returning production on offense and defense in the SEC. This is kind of like a year zero situation where you kind of just like get this year out of the way, build up a good recruiting class, and just go from there.
It's been a while for them, though. They haven't been that good.
They haven't. And for whatever reason, my throat fucking hurts from talking. Holy shit. Do I have to go in vocal rest? Number 14, Arkansas. This is a put up or shut up year for Sam Pittman after Arkansas went 4-8. Since going 9-4 overall and 4-4 in SEC play in 2021, Arkansas is 11-14 overall and 4-12 in conference play. They do bring in former Arkansas legend Bobby Petrino at offensive coordinator. If for those who don't know, Bobby Petrino was fired from head coach at Arkansas years ago after he was caught with a volleyball player and a motorcycle. I had a very inappropriate relationship with a Arkansas volleyball player. And got into a car accident on a motorcycle, and that's how the relationship got caught.
All right.
Yes, there was that. Yeah, it's just put up or shut up. I know they had KJ Jefferson, but I don't really see much happening with Arkansas. Number 13. Holy shit. South Carolina. Injuries in a very tough schedule last year. But they do from building off of an 8-5 finish in 2022.
And they lose their superstar quarterback
Shane Beamer, not in the hot seat. But this is crucial. They bring in Arkansas transfer running back Rocket Sanders. That's a big name. That's actually a pretty dope name. They bring in transfer portal wide receivers Jared Brown from Coastal Carolina, Gage Lavardadan from Miami of Ohio.
The transfers don't move me though.
And Amari Huggins Bruce from Louisville.
The X factor they had was Rattler. He's gone.
The problem is just too many teams. Yeah, there's
yeah.
Too many teams now.
Oh no.
Number 12, I have Kentucky.
Even them, like these top.
Yeah, but this.
They
year
had those quarterbacks though. It's. I don't know. None of these teams move the needle.
I like their win total. Their win total is like.
But like, if that's what
like, that team could definitely.
But that's the thing though. If that's what you're looking at. It's like, all right, you're a bottom feeder.
Tim, most of these teams are looking to win.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but that's what. But going back to Pete said, there's way too many teams in the SEC. It's just these bottom teams are really going to stink.
Fair enough. Next up, Florida. They have Tim. Have you seen?
It's insane.
College football history. I think it's a hard schedule. Shout out Maggie.
Let me see.
They're going to stink.
Florida's about to get dicked for a year.
Oh my. This is Florida's schedule.
Imagine committing to Florida this like off season, or whatever. You're like, yo, it's gonna be sick. And then schedule drops. You're like, well, this is it. Yeah, this is gonna be a tough first year for me.
Here's what it looks like. Week one, home against Miami. I think that's a loss. Home against Samford. That's a win. Texas A&M. Loss.
Yeah.
Mississippi State. Win.
Win.
Central Florida. Win.
Win.
Tennessee.
Loss.
Loss. Kentucky. Loss. Georgia, loss.
Loss.
Texas,
loss.
LSU,
loss.
Ole Miss,
loss.
Florida State,
loss. Yeah. Florida's gonna have a really tough year. I think Kentucky might, just because of schedule, might be better.
Poor Billy Napier, like, this season's like a put up or shut up year for him, and he's gonna get fucking fired with that fucking schedule.
Yikes.
I know, it's bad. Number 10, Auburn. They had a pretty bad end to their year. They lost to New Mexico State, they lost in heartbreaking fashion to Alabama, and then they lost to Maryland in the Music City Bowl. They bring in a pair of transfer wide receivers, Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State and Robert Lewis from Georgia State. Quarterback Peyton Thorne had an up-and-down debut at Michigan State, but he should be more comfortable in his second season and could benefit from having Hugh Freeze calling his plays. And then running back Jarquez Hunter is one of the best running backs in the SEC, and the offensive line returns three starters. So Auburn could be on the up-and-up.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
God, why does my throat hurt so much? Holy shit.
Do you want some beverage here?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, holy crap. Thank you.
Lube it up, Stan.
Number 9, I have Texas A&M. They hire a new head coach, Mike Elko, from Duke, coming off of that big year with Riley Leonard, although it did come in with some controversy. Oh, my God. How fast could Elko turn things around in College Station? Might take a bit, considering.
Might? It's going to take a bit.
It's going to take a bit. His impact to show.
Just think about it, too.
Here's the thing. I don't think his impact is going to show right away offense. It's going to show right away on defense.
Yeah, but it's think about who you have to catch. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many teams ahead of you that are so much better. Like, these new coaching programs, like, it's going to take some time. You're really going to have to build a foundation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just finally had a sip of water, man.
Doesn't that taste good?
It does taste good. What is this?
It's like a 7-Eleven, like, replenished.
Yeah, it's 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it's cheap. 7-Eleven brand.
Oh, shit. 0% juice.
Yeah, it's like a Gatorade thing.
Zero calories. Wow. Amazing.
Slevin. Shout out Slevin.
Shout out Muhammad Ali, which is the name of the guy that works at 7-Eleven. Number eight, Oklahoma. With a schedule that features six teams projected to finish in the top 25, let's take a look at their schedule. How about this? We'll go through these teams and look through their schedule and see what happens. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Temple.
Win.
Houston.
Win.
Tulane.
Win.
Tennessee.
Loss.
Auburn.
Win, but close.
Texas.
Loss.
South Carolina.
Win.
At Ole Miss.
Loss.
Maine.
Win.
Missouri.
Win, but it's going to be, like, really close.
Like, Alabama. Really close.
Loss.
LSU.
Loss.
Okay. So what is that? You haven't won 7-8 games?
Yeah, it's around there. I mean, again, all these teams in the middle of the pack here are going to be around 500 because the guy, it's so hard. The guys in front are just that much better.
Number 7, Tennessee. They took a small step back in 2023 after winning 11 games in an Orange Bowl.
Like, look at loaded before. Again, loaded Tennessee, but it's like, dude, there's teams ahead of you that are just...
Is Nico going to be starting a quarterback?
I imagine.
Yes, it's likely to be Nico Iamaleava.
I would imagine,
yeah. The sophomore showcases upside with limited time in the bowl game against Iowa. He has plenty of weapons, though, including... Squirrel White. That's his name.
That's probably the best name in college.
That's the best
football.
Name in college football. Brew McCoy and Tulane transfer Chris
Brew
McCoy
is a tough name too.
Running back Dylan Sampson is poised for a breakout year, and the addition of LSU transfer left tackle Lance Hurd should transform the offensive line into one of the best in the SEC. Assuming the offense goes to their high scoring ways, averaging only 24 points last season. Defense doesn't need to be elite. I just think it just needs to find ways to get stops and
be productive.
All right, so let's look at Tennessee's schedule. At NC State to
win.
Start the year. Oh, no, sorry. Chattanooga, win.
Yeah.
At NC State.
Win.
Kent State.
Win.
Oklahoma.
Win.
Arkansas.
Win.
Florida.
Win.
Home against Bama.
Win, because they're home.
Okay. Kentucky.
Win.
Mississippi State.
Win.
At Georgia.
Loss.
UTEP.
Win.
Vanderbilt.
Win.
Yeah, so that could get...
And it's iffy with that Bama game, but yeah.
All right. Next up, we have LSU. LSU's won 10 games in back-to-back seasons under Brian Kelly, but this is a crucial year for the Tigers. They lose Jaden Daniels. They also lost offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock to Notre Dame, prompting Kelly to promote Joe Sloan as play caller. On the defensive side of things, change was needed after the defense struggled a lot in 2023. However, Brian Kelly hit a home run by landing Blake Baker from Missouri to call plays and former Texas assistant Bo Davis to coach the defensive line. No Jaden Daniels, yeah. No Malik Nabers, no Brian Thomas. All off to the NFL. Garrett Nussmeier is your starting quarterback, and he is poised for a breakout year. Kyron Lacy, CJ Daniels, Xavion Thomas, Chris Hilton, and Aaron Anderson provide a strong foundation at receiver. Although the line could be the best in college football with Emory Jones going back.
They could have a good year.
Yeah, they could be poised for a good year. Let's take a look at LSU's schedule. If I can pull it up here. There it is. All right, USC in Vegas.
Win.
Nichols.
Win.
South Carolina.
Win.
UCLA.
Win.
South Alabama.
Win.
Ole Miss.
Is that at Ole Miss?
No, in Death Valley.
Win.
Arkansas.
Win.
A&M.
Win.
Alabama.
Win.
In Death Valley.
Win.
Florida.
Win.
Vanderbilt.
Win.
Oklahoma.
Lose.
Really?
Oh, wait, I mean win. Sorry, I don't know what. I thought Georgia just clicked my head. Win.
So you could go.
They could win every game. The Bama game again, shaky.
Six, seven.
Out of way, Lindy.
Yeah, you have them going undefeated here.
Realistically, I mean, UCLA game's question. Are they at UCLA?
UCLA sucks.
I know. Are they at UCLA?
No, they're not.
All right. Well, I was going to say, if they were, I don't know why, just teams out in California.
Okay.
I'm just watching Oregon football.
All right. Number five, we have Missouri. Missouri coming off one of the best seasons in program history, going 11-2, winning a Cotton Bowl over Ohio State. This is a big jump. Big jump. They also have a pretty favorable schedule. Do you want to hear the schedule?
Sure.
Murray State.
Win.
Buffalo.
Win.
Boston College.
Win.
Vanderbilt.
Win.
A&M. At A&M.
50-50. I don't know. I'm just going to say lose.
UMass.
Win.
Auburn.
Win, but close.
At Alabama.
Lose.
Oklahoma.
Win.
South Carolina.
Lose. No, win.
Mississippi State.
Win.
Arkansas.
Win.
They're able to dodge Georgia, Texas, LSU. Their two big games are at Alabama and home against Oklahoma.
They're not winning the Alabama game, I don't think. I don't think so either.
I really like their win total. I saw their win total the other day. It's at like 9.5 and plus 140. This team could easily win 10 games. I'm not kidding.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. They bring back Brady Cook. They also bring back Luther Burden, who is the SEC's top returning player. I really love this offense. I love this team. Eli Drankowitz has got a good thing going over there in Columbia. Next up, Alabama. New year. New head coach.
I like Bama this year.
They're plus money to make the playoff. They are plus money to make the playoff. Let's see what we think of their schedule. Western Kentucky.
Win.
South Florida.
Win.
At Wisconsin.
Yeah, win. Win.
Home against Georgia.
Lose. I think they lose, but I think it's really close.
Yes. At Vanderbilt.
Win.
Home against South Carolina.
Win.
At Tennessee.
Ooh, yeah, win.
But you just said Tennessee's going to win that.
No, I did. Yeah, you're right. That's what I was thinking. I still think Tennessee's going to win.
Missouri.
I don't know. Win.
You just said it was.
I know, but I said it's in the air.
All right, fair.
I'm leaning towards Bama.
At LSU. You said it was.
I know. I know, but I'm just rethinking them. I know what I said, Stan. I'm just rethinking them. Yeah, I'm still going to think.
Mercer.
That's a win. What?
Oklahoma.
Why would you even ask me that? They beat Oklahoma.
And then Auburn in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, but like, Auburn sometimes has that magic.
That is true. However, Jalen Milroe, we've seen how.
Oh, he's going to have a hell of a year.
I think he's going to have a great year.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, I think he, dark horse to win the Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to win it, but Dylan Gabriel's going to win it, but.
It's going to be either Dylan Gabriel or...
I think Oregon offense is going to have a ridiculous year.
Thank you, Quinn Ewers. The thing with Jalen Milroe is it comes down to this. Kalen DeBoer is a born winner. He is a born... When he got to Fresno State, his first year was Mickey Mouse because it was the COVID year.
Yeah.
2 years later... I mean, a year later, he wins, what, like 10 games with them? Goes to a bowl game. Takes a Washington job. Builds up the Michael Penix. Next thing you know, Michael Penix is a first-round draft pick. So now, do you think that Jalen Milroe will have the same effect that we saw with Michael Penix?
I think it's different. I think he's already more... Like Michael Penix, yeah, it was just like they just let him air it out. Like obviously,
yeah,
it was
well, because
more
he had the receivers,
right?
He had a Dunze. He had.
I think Milroe was already airing it out last year. I think they continued to do what kind of was working towards the end of the season and just.
I don't think Alabama's gonna change up much.
No, I don't think they have to.
And that's like what people. Everyone's like, "Oh, Bama's gonna suck. Bama's gonna suck." It's like, when Saban retired. People need to realize Alabama was the pinnacle of college football. Before Nick Saban,
yeah, there's
even
more
got
to
there.
It than Nick Saban.
And it's
Nick
the
Saban.
Same thing, and we could say the same thing. I know it's a completely different sport, but like, but when John Calipari left Kentucky, it was like, oh, Kentucky's fucked. Like,
yeah,
no, like the Kentucky it's Kentucky basketball. Like they've won multiple national championships
without
John Calipari.
Yep.
Like it's nothing's gonna change. It's just that the coach is different.
Saban also wouldn't leave them fucked.
Yeah, I know.
He knows that the team's in a good spot.
Yeah, he knows the team's in a good spot. Exactly.
Although that'd be baller and just be like their ass, and he's all like, right. Yep, it was all me.
All right, Ole Miss, number three, 14 returning starters. Overrated. I think that they're overrated as well.
They just have an electric home atmosphere.
I know they have an electric home atmosphere, and I know there's all those things. I just think that every year when a team, quote-unquote, wins the transfer portal, it does not work out for them.
Yeah. Well, again, on paper, we have to see. We'll see what happens. It's just...
I shouldn't have drank that, like, full on with one lip. I apologize. both lips like that. Anyway, they have Jackson Dart coming back, although he is in some hot water because he just got exposed for cheating on his girlfriend. But anyway.
Great.
Supporting cast.
Look at that. Oh, hold on. That is awful.
Yeah, that's insane.
And
Alonso is hitting 198 with runners.
You're in a contract year.
I hate Pete Alonso.
Yes. The receivers on Ole Miss include Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, South Carolina transfer Juice Wells, and tight end Caden Priestcorn. Running back Quinshon Jenkins transfer to Ohio State was a setback, but Lane Kiffin did add a couple of running backs through the portal. And returns Ulysses Bentley the sixth.
Ulysses Bentley is a crazy
Ulysses
name.
Ulysses Bentley, that's insane. The defense has improved. They do get the second-year coordinator, Pete Golding, so showed some slight progress, which led them to that Peach Bowl win against Penn State. Let's take a look at that schedule against Ole Miss. I'm trying to find where is Ole Miss? There they are. All right. Furman.
Base hit. Oh, and I was shit-talking you, Pete. Way to get the job done. Nice.
All right. Furman, win.
Win.
Middle Tennessee,
win.
Wake Forest, win. Georgia Southern, win. Kentucky, win. South Carolina, win. At LSU, loss. Oklahoma, win. Arkansas,
win.
Georgia, loss. Florida, win. Mississippi State, win. I think they win 10 games, but I wouldn't be surprised if... I wouldn't be shocked if there's like... I think that they're one of the teams that benefit from the 12-team playoff, but I wouldn't be shocked if there's 3 losses on that record. Because I can definitely see them.
Well, I can see taking their under win total might be a big thing. What is Pete
Alonso?
Pete Alonso
just
second
stole
base?
A base. He just stole second base.
Wow, this guy really wants that contract. Jeez.
Wow,
that's nothing Glaber would ever do.
Yeah, Glaber would not be doing that.
Wow, what a jump.
Yeah, that is some jump there. Holy shit. Anyway,
God, he's so fucking slow. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, Texas.
Loaded.
Trip to the college football playoff last year. Texas is fully back, all the way back. They bring back Quinn Ewers, who is the second favorite to win the Heisman. They also get some great transfers. Alabama transfer Isaiah Bond. Oregon State transfer Silas Bolden. And Matthew Golden from Houston. Another Alabama transfer and tight end Amari Nyblack to restock a receiving core. Go for it. Speak your piece. Okay. To restock the receiving core. They lost Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy of the NFL. Star running back C.J. Baxter also returns, and the offensive line is amongst one of the best in college football. Peter, what do you have to say?
This is my pick for the...
Oh, your horns up?
Horns are up.
Oh, shit.
For the 2024 National Championship.
Are we putting a future on that? Should we go all in?
I kind of like that style.
I like that style as well.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to win the National Championship, though. That ass.
Okay.
And yours might win Heisman, too.
All right. So let's look at this schedule.
All in on the horns.
I seriously think they go undefeated. I think that the fun game that they have on their schedule is the one at Michigan. I think that's going to be one of the best games of the year. Although I do think that – I don't think Wake Martindale is ready for that Texas offense.
Probably not.
I completely forgot that he's the defensive coordinator at Michigan. Did you see that new report?
What?
What do you call it? Fucking Jalen Hurts called Wake Martindale.
When?
Like during the season when they were like going like on like that downfall. And he basically like called Wake Martindale, was like, what are you guys seeing?
That's terrible. Jesus.
Why even take that call?
Yeah.
Like that's insane. I could not believe that when I saw it. So here's Texas' schedule. Would not be surprised if they go finish 12-0 here. Colorado State win. Michigan, that's
win.
A win. University of Texas San Antonio win. Louisiana Monroe
win.
Mississippi State
win.
Oklahoma
win.
Georgia
lose. No one's beating Georgia.
It's at DKR.
I'm sorry. Georgia's still winning. The only team is beating Georgia's Oregon. I'm sorry. That's it.
Okay. Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, A&M. So they could finish the season year undefeated. They could either.
I think
or they could even.
Georgia's going undefeated, so they're not.
Okay, so now we have Georgia.
Best team in the country.
Bring back
Carson Beck. It's the best team in the country.
I just found another outstanding name in this. Hang on. The quest for the three-peat fell short, but Kirby Smart's team is loaded. Carson Beck, 3,900 passing yards, 24 touchdowns last season, is set to be behind a standout offensive line that includes All-Americans Ernest Green III and Tate Ratledge. They did add a impact running back, Florida transfer Trevor Etienne, brother of
Travis Etienne.
With Colby Young, Miami transfer, and London Humphreys. Add depth to a receiving core that features Dylan Bell, Dominic Lovett, and this is the best. This takes a cake. Ra-Ra Thomas.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yep, that's a good name. Expect Georgia's defense to be one of the best defenses in the sport. They do return six starters, including safety Malachi Starks, edge rusher Mikael Williams, and linebacker
Schmidt-Jensen.
The Bulldogs will need a few new faces. The secondary could be a weakness, but we will see.
It's Georgia.
What happens
it's Georgia.
As the SNY. Wow, that's a bad fuck up. That's a bad fuck up right there. Let's take a look at Georgia's schedule.
Oh,
Blackman
wow.
With a draw. Oh, it's popped up.
Yeah, that looked like he pieced that somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Here's Georgia's schedule. Clemson in Atlanta. That's a win.
They're winning every game.
Tennessee Tech.
One.
Kentucky.
Win.
Bama.
Win.
Auburn.
Win.
Mississippi
win.
State. Texas.
Win.
Florida.
Win.
Ole Miss.
Win.
Tennessee.
Win.
UMass.
Win.
Georgia Tech.
Win.
Yeah, this is
yeah, the Minutemen. I mean, there's not even going to be a line for that game. The spread's going to be 49.5.
UMass could give them a little bit of trouble there. Oh, what the fuck's happening? Oh, pitch com broken?
All over the place in this game so far. They got a guy warming up already?
I would say, who started for them?
That guy.
Is he hurt?
I don't know.
Wow. Strange world. All right, who do you have for? Give me your SEC Player of the Year. Give me your SEC Championship matchup and who wins it.
Quinn Ewers is Player of the Year. Matchups: Texas, Georgia. Georgia wins.
Pete.
Ewers, Texas, Georgia. Texas wins because they're probably going to lose to Georgia. I think in their
hard to beat
season.
Team twice. Good one. Good analogy there.
Yeah.
That's a tie game.
Wow. Coors Field.
Another one of these great Stearns pickups.
Yep. Nice job, Stearns.
If anyone, the Coors Field just fucking took, the elevation took that ball. They hit the top of the fence and went over.
That was insane.
434?
Yeah, that's absurd. My SEC Player of the Year is actually going to be Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
My SEC championship game is going to be Georgia and Texas. I think Texas takes it solely because of that secondary, that receiving. Georgia's secondary isn't really the greatest, and those Texas receivers are dangerous. You're about to show me something. That's some breaking news. What is it?
It's not really breaking. Well, it's breaking, but at least 5 fights broke out at Seattle Seahawks practice on Wednesday, including one in which starred wide receiver DK Metcalf swung a helmet at cornerback Trey Brown.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's going on? Did you see what happened at fucking Tennessee practice?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Did you see that, Tim? Did you see that shit?
What? Was it just a full team brawl?
No, it wasn't a full team brawl. The quarter, Iamaliava was wearing the red jersey, and you know you can't touch the quarterback in the red jersey.
Yeah.
The linebacker, like, rushing, like, fucking touched the quarterback in the red jersey after the throw, and the offensive lineman, like, kind of, like, just, like, gave him, like, a little nudge. Like, yo, like, don't do that. The fucking linebacker pushed, like, grabbed his face mask, like, by, like, the wrist, like this, but, like, was able to take his helmet.
Oh, and hit him with it, right? Yeah.
He literally went like this. He was like, boom.
I saw that. Yeah, that was nuts.
Fucking nearly killed him. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, no, that always gets chippy, though.
That's insane.
It always gets chippy.
I always love training camp fights. He went there on that. Yeah. All right.
Good bounce back strike.
Oh, he's arguing.
Shut up, McMahon.
All right.
What'd you see this week, Stan?
I went to the Yankee game.
How was that?
It was a fun time. It was a very fun time. I was Eli Manning bobblehead.
Oh, nice.
Bobblehead
nice.
Day. I had my Eli Manning.
Is that why you went?
What?
Is that part of the reason why you went?
Yes. 100% of the reason why I went. I wore my Eli Manning middle finger t-shirt. I got a lot of looks.
Justin Tuck actually played golf at the club the other day. J.O. got a signed helmet and a bunch of signed stuff.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
But anyway. I do not recommend to go to a bobblehead day at Yankee Stadium, and I'll tell you why. The amount of people that went up to me.
Got another bobblehead?
Like, hey, I got a Gerrit Cole bobblehead. Want to trade? Like, saying, like, they were, like, those, like, idiot collectors.
Yeah.
That, like, oh, my God. I was, like, the amount of people, like, hey, you look like you got a lot of. Luis Sever. Yeah, now. Well, that worked out. That worked out for you. I had a fun time. Stayed during the rain delay. Worth it. Sola Mayhew with the walk-off single.
Good game to go to.
You're down 8-2 right now, but the Orioles are losing, so hopefully we can stay 1.5 games in first place. What did you see, Tim? I know you had the Justin Tuck thing, but there's got to be something.
Well, no, I had a hockey game. I didn't assist. We had a good game.
Oh, I am making my coaching debut.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm making my coaching debut.
Well, for basketball, not for
basketball. Not hockey.
Yeah, you've already been there.
Already been there for hockey. Oh, yes, and football. So
Not with JMU, Alabama. Michigan. Come
TCU.
On. This dude's got a resume.
I have a resume now. Like, this
he's not remembered for JMU.
The JMU remembers me because, like, I've been such a successful coach. Like, where did he get it? Where did he get his start? James Madison University.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think they're holding a grudge against you.
What if I go back? In order to go forward, you
got to go back and bring it home.
And bring it home.
Pull what Belichick's going to do next year with the Giants?
Yes. That's what I wanted to bring up, because they were, like, saying shit like, this is make or break for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I was like, not really. Like, they went to the playoffs year one. I feel like if that happens, then it's like, and a team that was expected to regress, regressed.
They pulled him.
Oh, yeah, they pulled him. Yeah, he was hurt.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Pete, what did you see this week? This was all-time Ireland trip for Pete.
I saw the All-Ireland football final. Saw Armagh win their second ever championship. And I was there in person. It was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced in my entire life.
So how does this, like, was it Gaelic football?
Gaelic football, yeah.
Okay, all right.
The first half was kind of shit. It was like both teams were playing pretty tense. Galway also hasn't won in a while. And then in the second half,
base hit for Jose Iglesias.
Things opened up a little bit. Armagh came down the field and hammered one into the net for a goal, and they won 11-13. So they won 14. They won 14-13. They won by 1 point.
Wait, so 1-11-13.
Yeah, 1-11 is like a goal and 11 points to 13 points.
Oh, so like a goal. Oh, so they went. Okay.
They
scored. For those who don't know, Gaelic football has a net.
It's like a soccer net and then like field goal posts. Yeah.
So
if you kick it over the net or like fist it over the net, it's one. And then if you kick it in the net, like in, well, that's between the posts. And then like if you kick it in the net, it's a goal. It's three.
Okay, so 1-11
to 13.
Okay, so you
14-13 was.
So how did you? How does it add up to 13? Or 14?
Because one is goal. Stand is the goal. Like it would.
Be oh, like because 1-11, one goal yeah, equals three points.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So all right.
It was
so
electric. I was there with like so much of my family and shit too.
Yeah, 11. Yeah. So they won 14-13.
Yeah.
It was like. And then I was sitting next to some like 80-year-old Irish dude, and when they scored the goal, I like jumped up and was giving people high fives, and he just turned and bear hugged me. It was just like, yeah, it was so fucking awesome.
Oh my god, those old people are like, for those who don't know, I work at the, I'm the gatekeeper at the local pool club here.
The gatekeeper. Like I have the keys. Yeah, I was gonna say a master of the keys.
I literally, oh my god. This I shaved the other day. This woman yesterday. I was like, "Oh, you finally shaved your mustache,
Daniel."
Just grabbing your cheeks.
No. There, I was like watching the Olympics when she's like, "Oh, is the U.S. winning?" She's like, "Yeah," and the woman's like, "You know, I stopped watching after that. They let that transgender doing the boxing."
Oh God, that's gonna wrap it up.
I was like, oh, okay, okay. Have a good day.
Enjoy the pool.
That was insane.
Make sure you get an umbrella.
Like, she had no business. Like, she just, like, saw I was watching the Olympics on my computer. She's like, oh, I'm not watching that. Not watching that.
Oh, jeez.
No, yeah. It was like, okay, lady.
Ben Gamble. Attaboy.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow. Oh, what's our next conference? Should we decide this now?
Nah, we'll just figure it out.
ACC?
Sure.
All right, yeah, ACC. That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to this episode's not going to be on YouTube, but be sure to subscribe to our YouTube, like our videos on YouTube, leave a comment on our YouTube videos. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. And we will see you guys next week for our next episode. Getting closer to football.
We're getting closer. Getting
closer and closer by the day. All right.
Jets.
Jets. All right. Peace out, guys.